I started my bakery business on the last $5 that I had for dinner one week and turned it into over $10 million. Turned at five into 60 that night, 600 by the end of the week. And I flipped that money into the amounts that I told you. Failure in one season is favor in a season that's coming. You need every single thing that looks like a failure, because in the future, it's going to be that sauce. It's that little extra that you're going to have that somebody else needs. Sometimes mothers don't take opportunities because they don't have anybody to watch their children. Sometimes they don't take opportunities because they think they have to wait until their children graduate from high school. Sometimes we don't take opportunities because we think that we won't look professional. But at the end of the day, use what you have to get what you want.
Well, everybody, welcome back to Success Rewritten. My name is Emily Lomenzo-Washkovic, and I'm your host. Today's guest is Mignon Francois. Mignon and I met back in 2020, and she is the founder of the Cupcake Collection, which is an empire. I mean, this thing started as Mignon baking in her house, and now she's not only one location, she's in two different states. She ships nationwide. I mean, there's so many amazing things that Mignon is doing. Mignon, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Listen, your voice was made to do this.
Oh, you're so sweet. I'll never forget the first time I did something with you. And I was like, wow, this woman brings the energy. Like, I feel like I've met you and we've only ever been on video before. I feel like I know you and we've only ever been on video.
The same.
Well, it means so much to me that you're here today, and I can't wait to dig into your entire journey. But let's just start by giving folks who don't know about you or Cupcake Collection a little taste. Tell us the story of who you are.
That is so good. A little taste is so appropriate. I'm Mignon Francois. I am the founder of the Cupcake Collection. I started my bakery business on the last $5 that I had for dinner one week and turned it into over $10 million. I like to sometimes call it, you know, say it by cupcakes, 5 million cupcakes sold. That was at last count that we did. I think that was back in 2016 that we made that count. So we're far beyond that now. But I did it on that $5 investment. That investment in myself, I was able to make a gamble and say, am I going to have dinner tonight for my family or am I going to go make cupcakes? And I chose the gamble of making the cupcakes, believing that my customer would pay me today like she promised. So I turned that five into 60 that night. I turned that 60 into 600 by the end of the week. And I flipped that money into the amounts that I told you from 2008 to 2017. And then, you know, at 2017 is where the pivot happened. And I learned how to leverage my own money and create greater opportunity for the company.
The thing that I have always loved about your story is it's not just a success story of a business, but it's really this story of coming from one of the most impossible behind places and gambling on yourself. And we'll get into this book, but this book that Mignon wrote a couple of years ago, Made from Scratch, Finding Success Without a Recipe, I was able to purchase this through my old job at Yelp and give it away to business owners. And I'll never forget when this copy arrived for me and I started reading it. And I knew like the Cliff Notes version, right? But to actually read about what your life was like when you were 10 and 14 and then a young mother, I mean, you just had all of these things that you had to overcome. Can you share with people what it was like in those early days and what you were doing for work to just get by before this cupcake thing took off?
I think sometimes when you look back, you can see, you know how the saying goes, hindsight is 20/20. When I was in my life, it just looked like I was making it. You know, I was in the hustle and bustle that a lot of other mothers feel, where I'm just trying to do my best to get to brush my teeth, have clean children, and feed them at some kind of ridiculous hour, put them in bed and get them to school and do it all over again when they arrive back, right? It was just a rat race of trying to pay the light bill, get groceries, have gas for my car, and also, oh, I'm supposed to also make a mark on this world. I've been created for a purpose that's outside of these little people. And at the time, what I like to refer to as my husband, because he was my husband. So, you know, just trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents stretch. That was what my life looked like. And a lot of times I'm focused on what it meant to be a teenage mom. But sometimes you have to turn that table and say, what did it look like to be the child of a teenage mother, right? What were the struggles that my children had having a really young mother? They had some experiences too, that as an adult, I have to go back and I've had to apologize for what I didn't know. I had to apologize for what I didn't do right. I'm still apologizing right now as a grandmother. But my daughter said something so special. She said, Mom, I think that's what makes you so grand, is that you get this opportunity to see what you didn't do well and have another opportunity to reactivate. I hope I didn't take too long to answer that question, but I really am passionate about some other mother who's in the thick of it, up to her eyeballs in the situation, to let her know that you're not by yourself. Because that's what I didn't know, Emily. I didn't know that I wasn't the only one failing at life, right? But I want somebody to hear that failure in one season is favor in a season that's coming. You need every single thing that looks like a failure. You need every single lesson that life is trying to teach you. And it just feels like, oh, why do I always have to learn the lessons the very hard way? I'm so tired of learning these lessons. God, why can't I just pick it up the very first time, right? And I want some other woman who's listening to know, put those lessons in your pocketbook, honey, because those are going to pay in the future. Baby, those things are coming back with dividends, and those things are coming back with value. So put every lesson in your wallet, because it is going to pay off in the future. You need those things that look like failures right now, because in the future, it's going to be that sauce. In the future, it's going to be that special little seasoning, that tweak that you put on that one dish that everybody asks you for. It's going to be that extra little, you know, like Sprinkle Bay used to be like, you know, you have that little extra that you're going to have that somebody else needs or somebody else doesn't know. And when I'm looking at all the things they're saying right now about AI, and the world is like reeling right now about AI and taking jobs and things like that, baby, guess what? All those lessons, all that stuff that I told you to put in your pocketbook are going to come back to serve you. And those will be the things that you create as your own special sauces. I've been screaming this from the rooftops, at least for the last 20 years, that the world that I was raising children in was going to have to be entrepreneurial. I raised all my children to understand you are in the business of your own labor. No matter who you work for, even if you have a job, that means that your client is your one job that you work for. So you have one client, so you better serve that one client, right? But for those of us who understand this entrepreneurial spirit, we have several clients. I think that's the thing, that which you're going through right now is going to be your sauce that you'll be able to create and be able to offer back to the world as the thing that sets you apart and allows you to move from where you are to where you want to be. I know I just went off. I'm sorry, Emily.
Mignon, this is why I have you here. You're just always dropping gems. And I know there's going to be people listening who are really in the hard times and the thick of it. But I also want some people listening who come from maybe a place of privilege to sometimes remember you need to capitalize on that privilege too, right? Like, there's some people out here working so hard to get by. And if you are putting yourself in this space of, I can't do anything, I can't accomplish anything, but you do have some privileges to your current situation, whatever that looks like, a healthy relationship, some financial access, like whatever it is, you need to sometimes look towards the positive and the opportunity, because that's what keeps you going. Like, you were never when you were at your hardest points, you were always looking for how you were gonna flip it to the next thing. And I'm sure there was hard times, but you weren't feeling bad for yourself because you were having really hard times. You were like, we're gonna get through this and I'm gonna figure out how to do it the best I can.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't know at the time that that's what I was doing. I thought I was surviving. I thought I was doing gangbusters. Like, I thought I was doing so well. I thought I was navigating and taking life by the horns. Now, looking back, I was a hot mess. I was a hot mess. But this is what I always tell young mothers, too, who also think they are a hot mess. You are the perfect hot mess to be what your children need. You were chosen for this. You have what it takes. All you have is all you need. I say this in the Made from Scratch, to get from where you are to where you want to be.
That's one of my favorite phrases of yours. All you have is all you need. Okay, I want to give people a little bit of color of the early days of Cupcake Collection, like literally baking in your house. Can we just tell everyone what the business was looking like before it was a real business? Like, give us what those days looked like where you're baking out of the home and you've got a sign in the lawn.
Yeah. I didn't know how to bake, not even out of a box. So how do I become a renowned baker when all these other people have gone to school for this and I haven't? Like, it is not lost on me that God called me to something. And when I tell people about our mission and our vision statement, our mission is to be a lighthouse in the community, to show others what good business looks like, and to light the way for other entrepreneurs to know what they can do if only they believe. That could be applied to t-shirt company. That could be applied to any kind of service company. That could be applied to any kind of business. God just happened to give it to me in a cupcake business. And I understand that I had a responsibility to do this well. So I would be getting up in the mornings. I would be having office hours with God where I was reading my Bible and getting the information that I need to go into the day with. And then I would actually take what notes I made out of my Bible, and I would go into the street and I would go figure out, oh, that's what the Bible was talking about today. Let me write that down. Oh, this conversation, oh, that rings true because I read about that in the Bible this morning. Like, that's the way that I built the whole thing. And there's a Bible verse that says that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, that he will direct your path. Like, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. That's how it goes. And so it's like, if you spend time with God, he'll give you the secrets that you need for success. So that's how I was doing it. So then it would be in a conversation. I remember calling grandma on the phone. Grandma, the man on the radio says you could get out of debt by having a bake sale. Give me a recipe. My grandmother didn't have recipes, but when I said failure in one season is favor in a season that's coming, I was able to look at the pieces of what my grandmother told me to do. I wrote them down because I understood that if you're trying to make something, you need to have a blueprint to look at. And so I pulled from all the experiences of my life and I wrote it down on this one sheet of paper, and it all came to serve me all at once. I was like, it's like it lifted off the page, and all of a sudden what I couldn't apply in science, what I was failing at in science, all made sense. But I needed that. I needed that so I could write a recipe. So I made adjustments to everything that she said. I right-sided what was upside down, right? And I created a recipe for success. And from there, I was able to make any kind of recipe. And it's so exciting because now I've been able to introduce my culture, my New Orleans culture, to the world. And after Katrina, with so many of us being displaced and so many people finding a home in Nashville, they're excited to come and find those things that they loved about home and our culture, because New Orleans is a culture within this culture all of its own. And they were excited to find their culture near their new house in Nashville. And so I'm excited to be able to use some of those failures and turn it into favor that I can use in my recipe for success. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. And I mean, everyone needs to read this book because it's so enjoyable how you can picture what you were going through because you write about it so well in a way that just gives you that like visual understanding. Like it's almost like it took me there, you know, to what you were going through. And it was a long period. I don't want to make it sound like you were doing a bake sale out of your house and then all of a sudden you had a brick and mortar, but yeah, that was,
it was
a whole year.
Yeah.
And it was also this period where like you were believing that you were more than selling baked goods out of your home from the beginning. Like you knew that this was going to be, you believed that it was going to be something bigger. Can you talk to me about what it was feeling like in that time where now you're like selling things. You can see that the business is a business, but you're still in your house. Like what was that like every day? And what were you feeling and thinking?
Yeah, At first I wanted what everybody else had. I wanted a storefront that everybody else had. And when I couldn't afford those things and when I couldn't make those things happen, God turned a spotlight on what was available to me. And what was available to me was this house that he had blessed us with that was already zoned to do all the things he was going to tell us to do. So it's like favor was upon me all along and you don't know how, what he's leading you to. But if you will follow the path, you will find out that he was creating. It's just like Dorothy, you had it all along. You know, just like the Good Witch shoulder, you had it all along. And so when I was in the mix of it, I at first was looking for field trip money. Then I was looking for opportunities to give people opportunities. Then I was looking for building a ladder for other people to climb. Then I was looking for, oh my goodness, As other people were coming to me, as other people were saying how, as other people were saying, my life looks exactly like yours. As we were saying, I understand what you're talking about. Now tell me how to do it. I started making a pivot to say, okay, well, I don't know what's so special about me that can't be also special about you. And I began to turn the tables toward them and say, you have everything. Go inside of your house and take inventory of your life. My daughter-in-law, Khalees, she's a little influencer who teaches people how to thrift. And she was talking one day in her car as she was doing her thrift haul. And she was saying, I mean, if you need to understand my resume, look at my kids who are clean, who are always on time for school, who are, you know, who have their backpacks. You know, like she was looking at her life as a mother and saying, these things are valuable things that should be considered on my resume. And I'm like, yes, girl, amen. Preach it to the rest of the choir who needs to understand that these life experiences you have are valuable things. And I began to teach other women who were looking on to go back in your house, look at your skill sets, go back in your house, open your cupboards and see what you've designed. See what fabric you have that you can quilt together to make a patchwork of something beautiful. And you don't have to go further than your house to discover.
I love that. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about once you were getting like big. I mean, when Cupcake Collection, you guys like had lines out the door. I mean, it was a destination. What did that feel like? Was that really weird? Like kind of an out of body experience? No.
It felt like answered prayer. It felt like what I had been promised. I saw that. And still to this day, Emily, when people come up to me and they tell me that they prayed for me, when people come up to me and they tell me that they're hoping that I make the best of it. And they're like cheering for me. I go back and I remember a Bible verse that God gave me when I was having these office hours with God. He said, people are going to pray to me on your behalf. They're going to ask me for your success because of the authenticity and the transparency with which you give them the insights as to how I've brought you to this. So every time someone says this to me, or when I see a line out the door, I see the success of the business, I say, thank you, God. thank you for telling me in advance what I was getting ready to experience. So it's just, all it is for me is a reminder of what I was told spiritually, what was going to happen physically.
Okay, I want to talk about when the business was really growing and then you had like employees you were paying and equipment, like it became much more of a business that other people relied on to live their life, right? To support and pay their bills and all of that. You quickly became like a mentor, a mother almost to many of your staff. Can you talk a little bit about that dynamic and relationship? Because I know it's worked very well for you and you have so many people still with you or who have gone on to be successes in other rights because of how you've, you know, launched them. But it's a lot of emotional labor too. Like, tell me about how you think about that, just so other people who are in those types of roles can maybe better step into leadership and guidance of those around them.
Yeah, I always tell my team when my ship comes in, they're getting on the boat. That means that I'm grateful to them for how they bring their gifts and their talents to the table. And I ask them what they need. I ask them what they need. I ask them what they want. I ask them, how can I help them get it? Because like I said to you earlier, I began to build a ladder then because every single one that has ever left the Cupcake Collection in a good way, at anyone that has ever left the Cupcake Collection and I've held their hand or the relationship was in good standing, have all shot up the ladder of success. And so I've always taught them that I'm holding the ladder of success at the base so that you can climb in safety, because I climbed the ladder and there was nobody holding the ladder for me. And so I wanted to make sure that I was holding the ladder for them. So sometimes that meant that I kicked people off of my team, not because they weren't good, not because I didn't want them there, but because I saw that they were playing it safe. And I don't want to be your safe choice. I want to be your number one choice. And so sometimes I've had to let them go so they can become whatever it is they know they had on the inside of them, whatever they wanted to create. And so part of that has just simply been, I know that I have a gift, a mothering gift, to the point where people just call me mom. Like people I'm not even old enough to be a mother to, they call me mom because there's a mothering, I just have a gift of mothering people. And I think that I created a nest because the bakery is in my home. And when you get behind those doors, it feels very much still like a home. Like it's still cut up like a home. It has rooms like a home and bathrooms like a home. And I think they feel that within the walls. So I think that's the difference of a corporate environment versus a homemaking one. And so we get the best of both worlds in that you get to go to a real job. You get to go to your big girl job. You get to do corporate type things. But I always like to say we're a mom and pop shop doing corporate size business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You are at scale now, but you still have that heart and soul of a family business. I want to talk a little bit about your kids. I mean, they were coming up in the business, but now a lot of them have like significant roles in the business and you're not as much a part of the day-to-day cupcaking as you were back then. What was that transition like? I mean, having your family as employees when they were younger, growing them into now more responsibility. How's that journey been?
Oh, it's been difficult. It's been one of learning. It's been one of understanding, you know, that sometimes my daughter has to say, I need to talk to my mom. I don't want to talk to the owner of the Cupcake Collection. Can I talk to my mom? And I have to literally take this hat off and put this hat on and try my best to hold my tongue, you know, as a leader of the Cupcake Collection and just be her mom. You know, it's been a challenge when my children are saying what they need from a position of they see it differently than I see it. And I think they have what it takes to push the limits to different heights that scare me personally. But I've always believed that if what your children are doing doesn't scare you, then it's not big enough. And I don't want my children to play it safe. There's even a Bible verse that tells us not to play it safe. And so I don't want them to play it safe because I believe the Bible, and I keep referencing it back every, you know, throughout this conversation. And I believe that it says, you know, when it says like, you will reap the benefits of seaborne trade when you push the limits and don't play it safe.
Well, and I don't know how comfortable you are maybe getting into this side of the conversation, but from an outsider looking in, you went through some trauma growing up just by nature of the life you were born into. And you've broken a lot of generational trauma in the place that you've been able to take yourself and your family. And I just wonder if sometimes the generation that has the cycle like broken in between, there's this like real difference in their interpretation and understanding of the world because of the different way that they experienced it. And not to say that your kids did not have their own things that they were going through, but do you see that ever? Like when they're thinking of these expansions or these different directions, it's because of the lack of trauma in a good way. Like it's an amazing thing, but how do you kind of see that from your lens?
I think it's because I taught them what I said earlier, that they're coming into an entrepreneurial world. They were going to have to create what they wanted to be a part of. Like that's just what it is. And so they now see that they are blessed to do that with their family instead of doing it for another company or building it from scratch. So they're getting that experience to build what they want while also working in the family business where they're learning firsthand what it takes to build whatever you want from scratch. So they remember those things, but at the same time, they can apply that to the separate thing that they're trying to build. So all of my children have separate businesses that they're currently trying to build, but they have the safety net of this family business that I created for us. And then also the next generation that's coming has this level of privilege that you're talking about where they don't, my oldest granddaughter, she worked her summer at the Cupcake Collection. Like, and if she wants to come spend every summer in Nashville and work in Nashville, she will have that opportunity and she will never have to actually look for a job. But also she uses her gifts and talents and has customers of her own, and she's only 13 years old. So she has customers of her own doing the thing that she's gifted at doing. And so she's learning that from her mother who's teaching her, who from her mother taught her, you know, this is how we create the opportunities that we need. We build it and then the people also will come after it.
I like your safety net analogy because I always reflect on my own privilege as like the reason I thought I could do so much, because I knew if I failed or stumbled, someone was going to be there to hold me, right? And you did a lot of jumping before there was an actual net. And your net, I mean, it's your faith, right? And God has been so powerful in that journey for you. But I love the way that you tell other people the importance of this, because then they can be the net, right? Whether it's for their own kids or for their employees. And so I love how you share that, because I do think it allows people to strive for more for themselves when they have that. I want to transition now and talk about like how you spend your day now, because it really is helping other entrepreneurs figure out like how they can make something for themselves. What are maybe some of the themes or challenges that come up over and over and over with these entrepreneurs that you work with?
Yep. I think that a lot of people do not believe that they have what it takes. They think it's outside of them. They think it exists in a class or a workshop or a seminar. They think that the special sauce exists in a degree. They think it exists in a company, in a job. But what they don't know is that all they have is all they need. It's inside of you. And I used to teach, when I would teach elementary school students, I tell them the future is not in front of you. The future is inside of you. Beyonce was Beyonce in the sixth grade. It's my favorite analogy. Beyonce was Beyonce in the sixth grade. She knew who Beyonce was. It just needed to be her responsibility to let the world know who Beyonce was, right? But she'd been Beyonce her whole life. Right. And so she didn't have to go get any, like, no one had to bring her Beyonce. She was born Beyonce. And I think that is one thing I keep hearing people, I keep on having to tell you, that success and everything that it has lives on the inside of you. I think the other thing we have to do is reframe what failure looks like. We think that failure is when I did it. You know, when I didn't make the ends meet, that's not failure. There's a lesson in it. You know, failure looks like when, you know, I lost all my cars, you know, maybe I lost my home. Like, that's not failure. There's a lesson in it. So if you can look at the situations and find out what those situations are trying to teach you, you got it. It's like, you know, it's in you. It's already in you. And then one final thing I would think that I constantly hear people say is, I don't have the money. I don't have the information. I got to go somewhere else to get it, to learn it. And I would say, you don't have to have all the answers today. You can start with what you have and whatever you know right now. Let's say if you're in the fifth grade, you can teach a fourth grader, a third grader, a second grader, a first grader, a kindergartner, right? So take what you have and apply what you know at the level where you are and go teach that and go get somebody else. All the money that you have is all you need to get from where you are to where you want to be. Money cannot be the reason. Experience cannot be the reason. Credit cannot be the reason that you don't achieve whatever it is that you're trying to achieve.
Well, and something so powerful in that advice from you in particular is you really do have this perspective that, like, so many people have an idea of what their business needs to be a business or to get started or to be official. And you really don't. Like, you can get going with what you have, and maybe what you want that business to be is down the road. But to not start baking because you don't have a huge convection oven, you know, at mass, like, you're getting in your own way is kind of what you're saying. And that was your experience. Like, you weren't going to wait to start a business until you were able to afford a brick and mortar, right?
Right. I started it in my house because that's what I had, right?
With your oven.
Because that's what I had, right? I started with, you know, what I could contain in that one KitchenAid mixer. And I'm going to show you this in real time. Would you go get Max for me and bring him here? I'm going to show you in real time what I mean about starting from where you are to get to where you want to be and not waiting. I'm going to show you this in real time. In my current life, I shared you early, I get to be a grandmother, right? And so my grandbaby is here in the room and I hear him crying, and I asked them to go get him because sometimes mothers don't take opportunities because they don't have anybody to watch their children. Sometimes they don't take opportunities because they think they have to wait until their children graduate from high school. Sometimes we don't take opportunities because we think that we won't look professional. But at the end of the day, you use what you have. You use what you have to get what you want. And so I think they're trying to stop themselves from bringing him to me. But you can bring him. I'm blessed because my daughter-in-law came over here to help. You got his pacifier? I'll take him. I'll show you in real time. Does he have it?
Oh, he's so beautiful.
This is Maxwell.
Hi.
We spent every day in the NICU together. And now we spend every day of the week together.
He looks like he's doing amazing.
Look at this big 4 month. He's about to be 4 months. He's about to be 4 months next week. And he is just, I think what I wanted to show is that it doesn't always look like what other people think it's supposed to look like. And people think, I can't go to that podcast interview with my baby. It's the baby. Gonna like stop you from answering the questions. I think we have to normalize motherhood, right? We have to normalize what motherhood looks like and be able to accept that if you can't accept me in this place where I am, then I'm not the person for you. But he is part of my legacy. And if I can be available to him, then that propels the future. And if the future that connected to me can be propelled, then our family gets to keep on living. Our family gets to go to the next level. Our family gets to climb the ladder of success. And at the end of the day, this is the thing that's most important. And I just want other mothers that might see this to have permission to show up with your baby. Show up with your baby on your back. Show up with your baby in one of those doggone Moby things. Like I'm taking all of the cues from all of the past. I'm saying, I wish somebody would have told me I could have just wrapped myself in a sheet. Like we've seen all these African lands and all these African mothers do as they carry the resources on their head and the baby on their breast. Like I wish I would have picked up on the opportunity to take a queen size sheet and wrap my baby up and go get what I needed, right? And we have to normalize showing up with our gifts and our talents with our most important investment, that being our legacy and our children.
Well, I think sometimes...
So at first when we started, he was napping and that's up, so I had to get him.
But he's totally content. And I think it makes your point of like, sometimes what we can and can't do or should and shouldn't do, it's things that we put on ourselves based on like societal norms or like what we think other people are going to think. But if you flip it around of like, what would you think if someone said, hey, I have to bring my baby today, you would be fine with it. And so it's important to get out of your own way and realize that like you can accomplish things even while you're thinking about and prioritizing the next generation, because both are very important.
And I've had team members that had to bring their babies to work. And you know, in a dream world, I'd have a daycare at that bakery and those mothers would be able to go on their breaks and play with their babies in the back. Like that's a dream Mignon has, because there's a lot of people who can't take the opportunity because their baby can't be in the space of what they really want to do. But I'm seeing so many of these like cottage laws coming to serve women who can be at home and be mothers during the day and also be business women during the day.
I love that. And I think seeing examples of it is the best way to get confident and do it yourself. I want to talk a little bit before we wrap up about community and collaboration, because you've always been one of those people that says collaboration over competition. And I think it's a huge part of why you've not only been successful, but been able to help so many others. Just share with people your mentality around that. Because I think sometimes small business owners, they feel like that's not the best route. And I think everything that you've accomplished can be drawn back to the fact that you've always welcomed others along the road.
And I think with the world that's being created for us right now by the words that we have said, our words matter so much. And we don't realize that what we're living in, what I'm existing in, has everything to do with the words that I said in the past. And we don't understand that our words are creating what we want to be a part of. And so as a small business, you often are saying things that are stopping you from becoming what it is that you want to see. And that's why I always say, speak what you seek until you see what you said. Understanding that how I use my language produces for me whatever I want to be a part of. And this is just one small example of that. So as a small business, I can say, you know what? I'm too small. I can't participate. But when I was a little girl, there was a book about an engine. And this little engine that decided to chug along and help while all the other big engines retired and they just couldn't help. The little engine said, I will try. I will do my little part to help you get this goal to where you're trying to bring it. And I think that's what little businesses can do. They can go and say, hey, big business, how can I serve you? And what is the outcome? What is the transformation that I can offer if you connect to me? Just like in the pandemic, when we saw how the world was shutting down, my team was still employed at the Cupcake Collection, but we reactivated. I said, okay, today you're going to become a delivery driver. Today you're going to be a store runner and you're going to go looking at all the stores to find all the ingredients that we can use to help us continue moving. And so that's what I think that little businesses need to do or small businesses need to do. People just want to know what's in it for me. If you can tell the other business, the one you're trying to collaborate with, the one you're trying to connect to, if you can tell them what's in it for them by using your service, that's the way you get the win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have dropped so many gems like you always do. I need anyone who's listening to check out Made From Scratch because this is Mignon's memoir. I mean, it's the story of how she overcame so much, how the business was built. And also, I think it gives a good foundation of your faith and how that's really helped throughout the journey. So I want people to check this out. But you have a new book coming out too called Speak Like Every Word Counts, a 30-day devotional to speak life and build what you say. I'm a words person myself, so I cannot wait to get my hands on this. But tell us more about the book. Give us a little teaser. And where can people either follow you or check out the book in advance? Where should we send everyone?
Thank you so much. The book was born out of me hearing people talk negative about their own experience and then find themselves blocking their own selves by the words that they said. And then a lot of people are saying things to me like, how is it that you know so much scripture? You don't have to learn the whole Bible all at once. You don't have to read the whole thing in one sitting from front to back. You can get one scripture and you can meditate on that one scripture and you can look for information and details and insight and direction and pathways out of one scripture. And you can make that a building block to get you from where you are to where you want to be. So I use the things that I was hearing people ask me for, and I put it into a 30-day transformational tool that you could apply to your life right now and see things change by the words that you say. So that's what Speak Like Every Word Counts is based on, because every word that we say does actually count. In fact, there's a Bible verse that says there are angels who are taking note of the things that we say. And it says we will give an account for every word that we said that didn't produce. So when I say I'm going to go to the gym, I have to make it my business to get to the gym. And so if I'm dependent on being someone's plus one to get to the gym, I'm going to find my way to getting my own membership when that person doesn't show up to make sure that I get to get in as their guest, right? Because I have to make sure that I do the things that I've said, no matter what that looks like. I think the biggest thing that I want to leave people with today in the spirit of what this podcast is that you are allowed to change. You're allowed to change your mind. You're allowed to change your clothes. You're allowed to change your hair. You are allowed to change your position. You are allowed to not be okay with the status quo, and you are allowed to get, you are allowed to do something different in order to change the whole dynamic. And I think that people regard success as being something that happens only once. And what I believe is that success is achieved more than once. And success looks different for every single person. And define for yourself what success looks like to you by writing yourself a blueprint that says, this is what success will look like for me. When I close my eyes and forever sleep and the obituary has been read, what do I want the obituary to say? And then reverse engineer your life to get to that thing that you want the end to be, and say, these are the things that I noticed that they didn't say. These are the things that I must do in order to accomplish what I want to achieve. And realize that every time you hit your goal, every time you show up to a task, every time you show up for yourself, that's called success. That's called success right where I am. That's called success that I'm building on every single day, so that when you feel that you failed, you can go back and you can look at those little successes and say, you know what? That wasn't failure. That was little successes that were waiting to happen, because success is achieved over and over and over and over again. And you can put those successes also in your little pocketbook. And those will also return investment.
There's nothing else that needs to be said. I mean, I will link everything below so that people can follow you and get more of the goodness, but that's it. You are amazing, Mignon. Thank you for sharing your own story, but also just having a way about normalizing what people are going through. Even though it's different for everyone, we can all have struggles and we can all still push forward because we deserve success. And it looks different for all of us, but we all have what we need to get there.
You all have what you need. Sometimes you just need a little push from somebody who can see what's already in you. And so that's why I have coaching sessions that I'm making available. People can get them on my website at mignonfrancois.com. I have discovery tools that you can just simply say, hey, I want to know what's possible. You can get a session for as little as $25, because everybody doesn't have $1,000 to spend. So I have things that can go to any budget, and then they can find the book on Amazon.com. I've got it in digital form, as well as you can get it in paperback as well. So listen, I want people to achieve what is possible. And if I am the lighthouse that they're looking to keep from crashing out, to keep from crashing up against the shore, then there are several things that we have available to help them to get from where they are to where they want to be.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. Thank you for helping so many people and just being willing to share your journey in a way that others can look to for inspiration, because it is so amazing and you're just so humble about everything. And I think it makes people really hopeful for what they can do.
Thank you so much for letting me do this. You know, like I said before, all of these interviews, all of these conversations are just helping me keep my promise to God. And I told him, listen, God, if you will make me successful, I will tell anybody who will listen about what they can do if they believe. And I hope someone got a little extra belief today from our conversation.
Absolutely. And I just love the full circle moment of you heard a guy on a radio talking about getting out of debt by doing a bake sale. And now you have the opportunity to share your story and people hear it or see it or watch it and they get that same feeling. So thank you. Thank you.
Ooh, that's so good, Emily. Listen, you're going to hear that again. Because I'm going to be saying that.
You use that. I'm going to be saying that. You use that as much as you want. Oh, I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you. I'm grateful for you.